You're listening to Women's Media Center Live with Robin Morgan on 1580 AM, a CBS station.
Welcome back. While we greet Jennifer Fried, psychologist and editor of the Journal of Trauma and Dissociation. Her work has been honored by the Association for Women in Psychology, the National Science Foundation, and the American Psychological Association, among many others. And now she's written an important new book. Welcome, Jennifer, to Women's Media Center Live.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, you have done it again with another remarkable book. Your earlier works on trauma, most notably betrayal trauma, the logic of forgetting childhood abuse, rattled the not only the psychology world, but the feminist world. And I'm very grateful that you wrote it. And now you're doing it again with a book that's even more accessible to the public, called Blind to Betrayal, Why We Fool Ourselves That We Aren't Being Fooled. And your co-writer is Pamela J. Birrell, and the book is published by John Wiley and Sons, and it's really amazing. So Blind to Betrayal is not just about betrayal trauma, but why and how we manage to go into denial that it's happening. And that's not only a survival mechanism, although that's partly it, but it's a lot more. Tell us a little bit about what more it is.
Well, we have been studying responses to betrayal now for 20 years. And in my laboratory, we look at this from a scientific point of view. And my co-author, Pamela Birrell, is a clinical psychologist, and she's been talking to people in her therapy office and looking at it from a clinical point of view. And what we have found is that human beings get betrayed in a lot of different ways, ways that are very traumatic, such as child abuse, ways that are very hurtful but we might not call traumas, such as infidelity in relationships, as well as at levels of institutions and systems and governments, as, for instance, when our government lies to us. And we've found that individuals often, although they get very hurt by this betrayal, keep awareness of it somewhat away. And this is in order to preserve their status and relationships with the betrayers.
Mm. And one could ask, on one hand, why do we want to preserve our relationships with people or institutions that are betraying us? But our survival depends on it in some cases.
Absolutely. So if you think about the plight of a child being abused by a parent, if the child responded to the betrayal with awareness, the natural response to that would be to confront or withdraw from that abuser. But a child who confronts or withdraws from a caregiver would only be in a worse situation. So it's really actually about staying alive for the child. The child needs to stay attached to the caregiver. And it's difficult to be attached if you're withdrawing and confronting somebody. Mm. So by pushing that awareness away, by being blind to the betrayal, the child preserves the necessary relationship. And although it's most extreme in childhood, that dependence relationship, we continue throughout our life to have varying degrees of dependence on other people. We might be, you know, financially dependent on our partner. Many of us are dependent on our employers and mm-hmm. other institutions around us.
What I love also is the way that you connect the dots. The spectrum all the way from the child straight up through entire nations. You know, people wonder, well, how could the Germans have been had the wool so pulled over their eyes by Hitler, even when similar things happen, in the United States, when an entire populace is betrayed by its leadership, by McCarthy, say, McCarthyism. And the connecting the dots, the syndrome, I suppose, being through composed is absolutely fascinating. You say in the book that being blind to betrayal is a frighteningly common state of being.
That's correct. In fact, as far as we can tell from our research, it's really the natural response to betrayal in any kind of dependent situation. We've also discovered, and it's really surprised us, the extent of this, we've also discovered that betrayal by somebody you're close to and trust, whether it's an institution or a person, is quite toxic. It takes a big toll. It's toxic to mental health as well as physical health. And so the continuation of betrayal is harmful to people.
Is some of that toxicity due to the energy you have to expend in denial?
That's a really good question, and I think that's part of it. I think that by being blind to the betrayal, one is, first of all, as you say, expending energy to manage that, but also then unable to protect against additional betrayal.
Oh.
And that's because, you know, you turn off the what you might call the cheater detectors, the little red flags that tell you that something's not right. You turn them off for one relationship, but then they're turned off for the next relationship.
Oh, and so wow.
The potential, the good news about all this from my perspective is that this is a problem we can fix. We, as a, you know, in our world, we face some very difficult problems. Some of them we don't know how to fix, but this one we can fix because through awareness, we can begin to stop this cycle and this pattern of continued betrayal and make the world a better place.
You talk about that quite a lot in the book. You write about that. And one of the many examples that you give, I think she finally left him, but is the story of the woman who... all her friends told her she's had this middle knowledge that her husband was cheating on her. But no, all was well. It was fine. That was not true. And then one day she decides to surprise him at his favorite bar and have a drink with him after work. And she's sitting there, and in he walks, and up rushes to him before he sees her. Up rushes a beautiful woman half his age, and he passionately kisses her. And then he catches his wife's eye. Says something to the woman. The woman walks away. He walks up to his wife and says, "I never saw that woman in my life. I don't know who she is."
Yeah.
And his wife believes him.
Yeah.
Which is a startling story. There are many startling examples. But she did eventually, I guess through a lot of work and therapy, not believe him. But that technique of the mind is an amazement.
It is, and I think it's something we can, at one level, admire, that the mind is this clever, that it can take information and, as that particular woman would put it, it can whoosh the information away.
Mm.
And in her case, she was financially dependent upon this man. She had a young child. There were a lot of good reasons for her to not see what he was doing, even though, ultimately, she paid quite a price for that, and ultimately she realized she was better off seeing it and getting herself out of that situation.
Mm. And what do we do when we then blame ourselves, which women do with chronic frequency, excuse me, when we are out of such a relationship and then we look back and we see how we were blind to it, and then very frequently women say, "How could I have been so blind? How could I have been so stupid? What was I thinking?" etc. They should not feel guilty at that, right?
Absolutely not. In fact, I think you can turn it around and you can say that the aspects of our being that want to preserve relationships are very positive forces, and those relationship preserving forces are what's really causing that blindness. And that's a good thing about us, and often it keeps us alive. So I think one can admire the mind, and also once we break free from that sort of tyranny, we can be proud that we did break free. So I really urge people not to beat themselves up for having been betrayed. And when you're betrayed, you're in a terrible bind, and you, whatever you do, it's going to be hurtful to you, and so it's not going to do any good to blame yourself for blindness. But once you realize that dynamic's there, then I think, you know, at that point it becomes important to take responsibility and find a more healthy path.
And although men are obviously betrayed as well, this book and this phenomenon, I think, particularly affects women because we in general have less power than men in a patriarchy, and it's the powerless who get who are more vulnerable to betrayal.
Absolutely.
So this book is an absolute must-have. Again, it's called Blind to Betrayal, Why We Fool Ourselves That We Aren't Being Fooled. This is not a simple how-to book. This is really smart. Jennifer, thank you so much for writing it, and thank Pamela Burrell for collaborating, and thank you for all of the other wonderful work that you do on the mind and women and feminism, and thank you for being with us on Women's Media Center Live.
Oh, thank you, Robin. It was great to be here.
Time for another pause. I'm Robin Morgan here with Women's Media Center Live.